Hi, thanks for tuning in to Smoking Issues. Today we are talking about the celebrity culture inside of the American church. Specifically, we are addressing the need the church at large seems to have with adopting or branding Christianity to be cool by co-opting popular culture and baptizing it in Christianese. How should we respond? We'll discuss these issues while smoking a Perdomo 10th anniversary champagne cigar. Enjoy.
Welcome to the podcast where nerdy guys smoke cigars and talk about smoking issues in the church. Thanks for being here. If you have any questions or want to comment on what we discuss, you can contact us via Facebook Messenger. You can email us at smokingissues@gmail.com, or you can go to our website at smokingissues.com. And for those of you who don't know, my name's Josh.
And I am Ian.
Ian, do you feel like yourself today? Do you feel like Ian today?
Do I feel like Ian today? Do any of us know what it means to be ourselves, really?
How you doing, my friend?
So cold. No one warned me that the East Coast is this cold in the winter.
Oh my gosh, it is. I do not envy you. It's a little bit warmer down in Tennessee, but not that much, really, to be quite honest. It's okay. It's terrible.
So in my native tongue, it's now negative 10 degrees. It has been so for about a week.
Negative 10 degrees what, Ian?
Celsius.
What is that? I don't even know.
What is that? I'm going to guess maybe 20-something.
I don't know. I don't do the math in my head. I'm just Fahrenheit because I'm American. America. Oh, what is it like only
15 degrees? 15 degrees Fahrenheit.
15 degrees. Okay. What is it like only one other country outside of the United States that uses Fahrenheit? I got to Google that really quick.
That's right. That's right. And additionally, your insistence upon using imperial measurements when the rest of the scientific community used metric was the reason one of your Mars missions absolutely failed.
What are you talking about, Mars missions?
There was a Mars mission many years ago where the capsule burned up in the atmosphere because the Australian team who were guiding were using metric measurements, and the American team were using imperial.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That wasn't like a manned spaceflight, was it?
No, it wasn't.
That wasn't manned. Okay. All right. So here we go. According to Quora.com, Bahamas, Belize, the Cayman Islands, Palau, whatever, I don't even know how to say that, and the United States of America. America. I love it. It's great.
Yeah, I know.
It's one of our, just the defiance. It's great.
It's great.
So, Ian, we've got some topics today.
Right.
And as you mentioned, we're talking about this idea of brand recognition in Christianity,
mm-hmm.
pun intended.
Pun intended.
You know, this church has the church at large typically has a nasty habit of adopting, you know, kind of popular culture and baptizing it in Christianese. That's why we have terrible Christian music at times, terrible Christian movies, and Christian celebrities too. And recently, we came to a Relevant.com article that both kind of caught us a little off guard, and it was about Russell Brand, titled The Second Coming of Russell Brand. And I know that I saw the article, and I read it, and I was like, I don't even want to send this to Ian, because I know that he's going to pop a blood vessel. I actually didn't send it to you when I first read it. I don't think you knew that, did you?
And I actually managed to read three-quarters of it before – you know, rage posting quotes from it to you.
My phone started blowing up with text messages from Ian, for those of you who are listening. And he just started, yes, rage posting quotes to the text message chain that we are in. It's pretty funny.
Yep.
It's great. I read it a couple days before and I was like, oh no, this is not going to be good. Ian's going to have a hard time with this.
Well, I don't understand what the hard time is to be had, really. Why did you think I would have a hard time with it?
Well, I just know that, first off, relevant is kind of taking something that Russell Brand is saying, and they're trying to kind of craft a narrative around that, which we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But, mm-hmm. I definitely thought some of the quotes, some of the things that they affirm, I was like, oh no, Ian's gonna hate this. So that's what I thought. The anger of the church adopting popular culture to try to justify itself is, I know, a very hot button issue with you.
Well, it should be for all of us.
So tell me a little bit more about what you were feeling when you read that article, and then we'll dive in.
Well, there are two aspects to reading this article that I think are very important. The first of which is Russell Brand's direct speech. Russell Brand's talk about God and about the Bible and Jesus Christ and all of these things, which are good and commendable. We can never say that, you know, good speech about God is a bad thing. Like, the world needs more good God talk. So Russell Brand has some of that. However, Russell Brand's faith would not rightly be considered Christian in any meaningful sense, but rather his faith is rooted in the recovery movement, the 12-step movement, and he sees Christianity as just one of one of several sort of plug and play interchangeable religious languages for the 12-step recovery movement. And so it's clear to me that when Russell talks about Christianity, he is really talking about really his religion is recovery in a sense. And so for relevant magazine.com to be posting his quotes as if he is speaking for the church, or speaking even worse, let's be honest, with this title, The Second Coming of Russell Brand, it's almost like they're saying this, he's speaking for Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
That's problematic. It's like, yeah, this guy has some great thoughts about addiction and how his spirituality has helped him in that. But like, really? I mean, has evangelicalism become so nebulous that any white man who talks about Jesus
there you go
can be a leader of this movement and a figurehead? This is bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering where are all the wonderful African American pastors who have walked with people through recovery? Where is their voice in the midst of this?
Ooh.
That's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very interesting that you have a man who doesn't quite, I mean, some would say that, is he a Christian? Is he not a Christian? That's not the point. The point is that he's saying things that don't exactly line up with what we believe about evangelicalism. This is a man who's kind of new to faith and he's talking openly about it. He's processing it. And I celebrate that. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that if this article was in the New York Times, if it was in the Washington Post, if it was probably anywhere else but a Christian website, Christian blog, I'd celebrate it. I think it's great. This guy's talking about faith. I listen to his comedy. I think his comedy is hilarious. I think he's really smart. Mm-hmm. I think he enjoys rhetoric back and forth, and the man is extremely well-read. And so I have a lot of respect for his comedy, and I think he's really funny too. But the fact that they've got that they have highlighted this on a Christian blog with the title The Second Coming of Russell Brand, which has some salvific kind of soteriological implications to it, on top of the quotes that they use from him, they just seem to try to justify some of these quotes and try to wrap some theology around them. The author seems to, and to try to justify kind of having him on. And again, we look at many other people who have dealt with recovery, who have walked through it, who are mature believers. We deal with a lot of people, a lot of pastors that I know in the inner city of Nashville, even African-American pastors who are wonderful men of God, who've walked part, some of their congregation through addiction and recovery. And it's like, where's why did we choose this guy named Russell Brand to get on the front page of Relevant? And on the front page of their magazine too, what are they seeking? What are they trying to get to, and what's the purpose behind it? So
and so for me, beyond that initial question of the actual content of Russell Brand's speech, which I think like we can move on from that pretty quick. We can find it praiseworthy where it's praiseworthy, and weak where it's weak, and there's we can be glad that Russell Brand is not dead and is in recovery. You know what I mean? Like, this is a good thing.
Sure, yeah.
But absolutely. But that second issue of what on earth do you think you're doing posting this?
Yeah, that's a great place to go.
That's kind of the one for me. Like, why are you, relevantmagazine.com, why are you posting this? What are you trying to accomplish?
Well, I think this kind of ties back into some of the things that we have talked about in the past, and I think we're going to talk about in the future too, is the need for evangelicalism to find a savior other than Jesus, I think. I think that there's and this kind of innate desire for a celebrity, for a voice, because I think that even in light of the recent election and some of the things that went on there, I think that evangelicalism doesn't feel like it has a voice in popular culture. Uh-huh. And they're trying to wrestle with what that looks like. They're trying to wrestle with how do we now live if we are not the predominant culture, and if we're not respected, who's going to advocate for us? Who's going to speak for us? Who's going to represent us? And so I think that I feel at times there's like a grasping at straws to try to find the next celebrity, the next politician that affirms a biblical stance or belief on this or that, the next Christian celebrity, the next pastor, be our voice.
And the irony is like that's a pursuit with diminishing returns, you know, like,
oh, it really
like, whilst in the 90s, you might've been able to find somebody who pretty much fills the entire mold of a good evangelical Christian. You know, we've reached 2017 and what you've got is Russell Brand. It's like, wow. Okay. you're really looking for something, and it's never gonna be there for you. I mean, you could say they're looking for something that they can't produce themselves. So, you know, is there a fault in sort of the ethical and moral formation of evangelicalism? But we can come back to that. What was the other issue I was going to say? Geez. Oh, yeah. Surely this is just a warmed over version of what was happening in the 90s with the CCM movement.
Okay, why don't you elaborate?
Well, you know, thinking of the baptizing of secular culture by evangelicals for the sake, I suppose, of the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's be charitable about this.
Thank you.
Right. Let's be charitable about this. Where you are finding celebrities, sticking them on the front pages of your magazines, making, you're either baptizing celebrities into Christian culture, or you are exporting celebrity from Christian culture into the mainstream.
Like Kirk Cameron.
Do we have to talk about Kirk Cameron?
I just wanted you to get Kirk Cameron in your head today.
I'm now thinking about Kirk Cameron.
To ruin your day.
Kirk Cameron is a great example, but I'm sure this is a strange kind of manufacturing attempt of the 80s and 90s to believe so much in celebrity that these individuals would be able to speak for Christianity and make evangelicalism powerful and plausible in society.
Yeah, and I find that, you know, Christians make fun of movies like Battlefield Earth. Remember that with, what's his name? John Travolta.
I
remember that movie, Battlefield Earthian. It's a terrible movie. It's awful. Google it as I'm talking about it, because you'll see John Travolta funded the whole movie, and it was all about putting into kind of visual format the beliefs of Scientology. It was a Are you kidding me? Dude, people left after I was reading an article the other day about it. And it was like, the article was like stories from people used to work at movie theaters. And one of them was like, people would leave after 15 minutes and demand a refund. And it was an absolute flop. I can't believe you never heard of this, man. But yeah, Christians made tons of fun of Battlefield Earth. I remember, when it came out, and like, that was like it was derided, but, you know, you have movies like Left Behind or Fireproof. I'm going to call out some names and get people upset. Or like that, there was a terrible like football, Christian-y football movie a couple of years ago. And it's like you have the same thing, but it's Christian and not Scientology, where they're trying to baptize culture to appeal to people, I guess. But it really doesn't do that. Like it doesn't appeal to anyone. Nobody wants to come see those movies. Just like nobody really wanted to go see Battlefield.
I mean, there is a sick part of me that does enjoy watching Left Behind, though. Not Left Behind. I mean, God's Not Dead. You never thought God's Not Dead? Oh, buddy.
No, I never did.
Is it bad or is it good? Never watch it with a very sincere audience. No. If you watch it with a sincere audience, you're going to be disappointed in your audience. You're very disappointed.
That's funny. But let's start thinking through kind of the core of, like, why do we do this? Russell Brand is not the problem. I'm excited about Russell Brand, like we said. The problem is the feeling, the need to baptize culture, baptize people into Christianese, and then present them to the public as representatives. So what's the deeper issue? What are we not getting that we feel like we have to get through?
My first hot take on this is what we are seeing is that perhaps evangelicals barely believe the plausibility of their own faith.
I would say that most Christians do. Let's just not signal.
I thought this was a conversation about evangelicalism, so that's why I went there. But so the issue here is saying, well, they doubt the plausibility of their own faith, then you are seeking and searching for some kind of universality, some sort of affirmation that your faith connects with the universal. You know what I mean? Your faith is in some way real, and one way to know it's real is if it touches everybody, right? This is why we are reaching out and so glad for scarcely Christian figures. Because what we get to do then is we get to be, we get to feel like the faith is not just like a fideism, it's not just a cult. Like this is this faith actually exists and is real.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that part of the problem is, I kind of go back to this idea of, the Bebbington Quadrilateral. We've talked about this in previous ones, but David Bebbington, he was a professor of history in Scotland. He spoke at Baylor University, University of Edinburgh. In Cambridge.
Edinburgh.
Did I say that right? Edinburgh. Is it Edinburgh? Edinburgh. That's what I'm going to say.
You just got to compress that sound. I mean, you have red hair. I mean, you can do the Scottish thing, Edinburgh.
No, I'm not going to try to. Not on a podcast. But maybe later, maybe
Bebbington.
Later. But Bebbington came up with, he kind of defined what evangelicalism is. And that's been kind of when Barna does their research, when Lifeway does their research, and they try to define evangelicalism, they define it under four things. Biblicism, this idea of the Bible is true and all essential spiritual truth can be found in the Bible. Crucicentrism, this idea of the atoning work of Christ on the cross as the center of human history. Conversionism, the belief that human beings need to be converted. And activism, the belief that the gospel needs to be expressed in some sort of action. That's not just mental, it's not just personal spirituality, but it actually has to go to something. So it has to go to something outside of us. So when you think about those things, if evangelicals were truly evangelical, those things are enough. And so when you need to add stuff to evangelicalism, when you need to add stuff to your faith, like representatives in politicians, representatives in culture, you need to try to, quote unquote, be relevant, which exactly, and a whole magazine devoted to this. What happens is that you, I think, Ian, you're on the right track, and I think that you're right, is it really comes out that we don't believe the things that we say we believe. Because if we did, we wouldn't need it. We don't need all this other stuff. And so I think that Russell Brand is a and this idea of brand recognition and trying to baptize brands actually gets to the core of our unbelief and our lack of understanding of the gospel.
There was a you know, I'm often reminded of Kierkegaard, who in my Bible I've actually attached him. In fact, all his spiritual works are attached as a as kind of an appendix to the Bible. You know, just for convenience sake, you know, in like one, it's a one bound volume.
did you get that at the St. John's
I did,
College
yes.
bookstore?
No.
did you really?
This is I was going to say, not a book did, that exists.
That would be nuts.
I kind of wish it did. But Søren Kierkegaard and I happen to consider him in my own way. I think he's the grandfather of evangelicalism. Because he's a pietist.
Okay.
And evangelicalism is at the very least a pietist tradition. But he also conjures the language of being a contemporary with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being with you, the individual, now. So he uses the term in one of his books. He uses the term in Practicing Christianity. He uses the term contemporaneousness. Well, contemporary.
What is that?
Contemporaneousness. Okay. Yeah. Companionship, friendship with.
Gotcha.
But Kierkegaard, he thinks faith is a it must be a decision of the individual. And so this is why I think he's the grandfather of evangelicalism, right? Faith is a decision of the individual. When faced with the absurd, when faced with the pit, when faced with the abyss, as Nietzsche would call it, you have a choice. You can leap to the faith, even though it makes no sense, and you will find that it catches you. So he's kind of arguing, just try believing, try doing these things. Especially, he talks about teachings of Jesus Christ. Like, you might be looking around and seeing this this nihilistic, bleak outlook on the world, but leap to faith. Try the teaching of Jesus Christ, and then he sees that Kierkegaard describes that as a very pivotal and transformative moment. What relevantmagazine.com is lacking here in this article is any sense of a leap to faith that says, everything in culture right now is very confusing and makes little sense to me, but let's try having faith. So rather than presenting people with a moment of choice, they're presenting somebody with a shiny brand to buy. And buying a brand is not the same thing as a choice.
That's good. That's good. It's just affirming what's already sitting in front of you. It's saying, here's a nice shiny package.
Yeah.
So, great.
Philosophically and theologically, there's lots to say now. And of course I know that Kierkegaard's thoughts about leaping to faith, they're not always that helpful. But like in this instance, I thought it was pretty relevant. I thought it was pretty relevant magazine.com.
Yeah. I think pretty relevant. Hashtag relevant magazine. That's good. Well, I think that this need for a prepackaged Christianity that people can swallow, like a pill to swallow, what it does is I think it denies the faith that's needed to actually make a decision to say, yes, this is what I believe. It says that we can't ask people to do that. So let's give them a nice, neat, shiny package, have them see a movie, read an article, see this popular celebrity believe this, so let's do it too. And I think what it goes back to is that people turn to other saviors to try to save them and try to save the people around them. And they actually don't turn to the true savior. Because again, if this was posted on CNN or the Post or posted on some sort of news article, I think it would be fine. Mm-hmm. I think it's good. I think it's great that Russell Brand's exploring his faith, but this is not the appropriate place to think and talk through these things and affirm them as a representative of what we believe. You know, in my mind, I'm excited that Brand is exploring his faith, but mm-hmm. I'm no more excited than mm-hmm. I am about my friend Dylan, who's in Clarksville, who's exploring faith. You know, I'm not writing an article about him. I'm spending time with him and I help him. And we talk and we read the scriptures together. We talk about faith in God. And that's what I think we need to turn towards is this idea of evangelicalism goes back to activism. And activism is not creating icons for us to bow down and worship. Activism means serving our friends and neighbors for Jesus and not relying on celebrities, movies, popular culture, mm-hmm. To be the winsomeness
and
of Christianity.
Jesus is
the winsomeness of Christianity.
Not when we borrow the story of somebody who's figuring their own stuff out, but when we live into the teachings of Jesus Christ and actually obey him, then we live a life like both as individuals and together as a community, which is a light to the nations, which is compelling in its way. It might not be winsome to everyone, but we would be a good witness at that point.
I agree, man. I think that's good. Do you think this is a good place to stop? Do you want to?
Yeah, you know what? It's time to
move on
to
something else. We do need a spoke break at some point in time.
Now, this Perdomo is actually one of my favorites.
What do you think of the
Perdomo? I really, really enjoy these cigars. It's the 10th anniversary champagne.
Yeah, me too.
We're smoking a 6-inch Toro, 54 ring size. And it's very light. So it's not gonna tar your mouth or anything like that. So very flat. When it's lighter, you notice some of the sweeter flavors. These thick and dense flavor profiles are very overwhelming, but they often lack any subtlety. But with this, it's just a delight to smoke.
Yep.
That's awesome. Well, mm-hmm. I'm getting a lot of nutty, kind of brown, earthy flavors, with a hint of sweetness, like coffee with a little bit of cream and sugar.
I've never had a bad time with the Perdomo.
Yeah, it's great. It's really, really good. It's smooth. And I like how it's finishing smooth. That's one of the things a lot of times as you get to the last third, you typically think of cigars in thirds. So the first third, second third, last third. And, the last third, which we're kind of getting to now, is I don't know about you, but at least for me, I'm getting to it. It's definitely still maintaining a sense of sweetness. It's still getting that nutty flavor. It's really, really great. And this is one of my go-to cigars. This is one of the ones I almost always turn to. So, yeah, I think it's great. Mm-hmm. 10th anniversary. Mm-hmm. I would smoke these every week if we could.
This is one of those ones which, you know, it's, I often give to guests.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's an easy smoke too. It's not a difficult smoke. It's not challenging. I smoked one yesterday that was really bold and strong, and I really enjoyed that. There is subtlety to the stronger flavors. You just have to be more patient with it. And but for someone that's not typically smoking cigars, I like to try to give them something like a Perdomo 10th mm-hmm. anniversary champagne, which, by the way, they do make a Maduro version of this. And so we're smoking the lighter version of it. So we've got the Connecticut wrapper, the lighter mm-hmm. wrapper, with a more medium strength. Well, it's good. It's good. Well, I think it's kind of ironic that I'd read this article a few days before you sent it over to me, Ian. But I think that this goes back to I really like where we landed, but I think this goes back to kind of a need to understand the gospel, a need to truly believe what we say we believe. For me, as we're kind of wrapping up, that's what it reminds me of, is that let's believe and say and think and do what we say, believe.
I mean, that's all well and good.
You know, we're supposed to.
But what this exposes to me are some glaring omissions and failures in character formation, which makes this even plausible and possible. Sounds very harsh, I know, but how is there such a lack of uniformity around belief and practice that this kind of desperate pandering is appealing? But that's a question for deeper thinkers than us.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
But like, there's yeah. this exposes for me. We all know we should all be doing more and believing harder what we already say we believe. But how do we get there? And what's gone wrong that has gotten us to this place? That's a more interesting question to me.
Yeah, that's probably for another podcast. But I do want to say that, you know, a lot of times it's not about believing more; it's about believing what we say we believe. You know, it's not about adding to the faith. It's just saying, I actually believe what I say I believe. So that might be a little different. But I think at the end of the day, we realize that it's not our faith anyway that does anything. It's not our job to believe harder. It's our job to trust in the man who believed the hardest for us. And when we realize that he has been faithful when we're not, it frees us to fail. It frees us to not always be relevant, because I think when you're always relevant, you know, Jesus wasn't relevant.
Well, that's a very sentimental
so
ending.
When
Josh,
you're always
I'm
relevant,
really
I don't think
you
you're
that.
Being like Jesus.
All right. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you all for listening. If you like what we're doing, please send us a comment, text, email. Now we're on smoke signals too, so send us a smoke signal. We want to hear your feedback.
Hey, thanks,
and
Nosmo.
As always, we'd like to thank our executive producer, Nosmo King, for all of his efforts, of making this podcast possible.
Are you
in Nosmo?
I thought he was on his way
doing?
To see you. Is he not? Is he not with you? Huh? Yeah, like he got on the road like a couple of days ago.
Wait, he told you he was coming to see me?
Oh, man.
I don't know what he's doing. We have to follow up with him. We need to have an intervention with Nosmo. Oh, no. It's coming out.
Bye-bye.
Well, we'll see you all next time. Thanks for joining us. Something inside.